This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee.
Let's go for a little ride.
Hey, good morning. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. I just went on a tirade for about a minute.
And then snapped back into it.
Though. I did. I just masked myself back into a happy person. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. He's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise in the other room. I said, like, pretty much everything that is happening right now is just absolutely driving me nuts. And it starts with the St. Louis Cardinals. And if you are a Major League Baseball fan and not a Cardinals fan, have at it. Have at it. I know we're not supposed to joke about this, and it's not a joke. And it's not something that, you know, you take lightly, the fact that the Cardinals continue to test positive for COVID-19. But if they have become a laughingstock now of Major League Baseball, they cannot figure this out. The NBA figured it out. The ML or the National Hockey League figured it out. The Blues can't score. Don't get me going on that. Then Major League Baseball, 29 or whatever other teams have figured it out.
With the exception of the Marlins.
The Marlins had an issue, and then they figured it out.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals cannot. They had another staff member now, we think it was a base coach, has tested positive for COVID-19. So now the weekend series with the White Sox is in danger. And keep in mind, Major League Baseball still wants to give the Cardinals, and rightfully so, a couple of days to work out once they are all negative. So here we are thinking, well, we've had three straight days of negative tests. It's time to go. And then a base coach.
It's the second straight week of that as well. Remember last week they were supposed to play the Cubs on Friday.
Yeah.
After no new tests on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And then boom. Ryan Helsley went and got his hair cut. And
is that what happened?
Well, I think he had it. And then the according to KMOV, in St. Louis, they interviewed the hairdresser or the beauty. I don't think a hairdresser is the right word for that. I'm sorry. My mom was one years
Barber?
Ago.
Hairstylist.
Hairstylist. Thank you. Sorry to all of you out there. I'm sorry. But they interviewed her, and she is ticked off because
this
Helsley.
Was after games were canceled?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And Helsley knew he was positive. And he didn't tell, according to the report from KMOV TV in St. Louis, he did not tell this girl that he was positive, and she cut his hair. And I guess now she's positive, I think.
The sheriff is a bad nickname for a guy who seems to be breaking the law left and right here.
Isn't he the one that had the issues with a chop? The Atlanta Braves?
I don't remember.
Suspend him.
Clevinger from the Indians and another starter got suspended for, I think, going out in Chicago.
Yeah, they didn't even come home. I heard the story. I think it was Sarah Spain, who the show that follows this, that Clevinger went out on an all-nighter and did not even return to the hotel at all.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe his wife was up there. I don't know if he's married. I mean, I'm not saying he was doing anything immoral. I'm just saying he was out all night. Maybe he's drinking with college buddies that he knew long ago, and haven't we all done that? I've usually come home.
During the current circumstances where you're
correct
on a team with certain protocols and you're not supposed to do it. A Seahawks rookie just got cut for sneaking a female into the team hotel and tried to dress her up in Seahawks gear and make them think that was a player.
Oh, no. Are
didn't
you
work.
Kidding
he got
me?
Cut. So,
I needed that
laugh. I have
laugh.
No sympathy for Ryan Helsley. It's almost like, and I know this is not how it's supposed to work, but the outbreak with the Marlins was so big and quick in a hurry. So many people had it.
Yeah.
Cardinals has almost been gradual to a fault of their own where now they just keep building up to a number that maybe hasn't even hit the Marlins number, but they just keep popping up to where...
It's a great point.
It's extending out.
A trickle.
I think it's now 18 different Cardinals, players and staff and coaches.
Right, and I'm not suggesting they should all get together and give it to each
right.
other.
Right.
They should all just kiss in a room for 5 minutes,
well,
and then they'd all have it.
Adam Wainwright said a good thing. He goes, well, if nothing else, we're growing a good group herd mentality here. I mean, you
herd
know.
Immunity.
Or herd immunity.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Yeah.
In the sense that the Cardinals pretty soon will be, pretty soon they'll finally be healthy, and then the rest of baseball have to shut down.
Yeah, maybe the Marlins and the Cardinals will be like the two teams left by September.
Yeah, this is their strategy. They're going to get to that finish line however they need to. It's just, it is
frustrating.
Are they
frustrating. Still going to hit 217 when they come back?
Oh, my gosh.
That's the team average right now.
Oh, my gosh. I saw a tweet the other day. Dave Wishnowsky put a tweet out about Cubs pitching, and it said the Cubs, along with the blank, blank, and Cardinals, lead the league in fewest runs allowed. And I'm like, well, hell! They've played five games. If you're not the leader in runs allowed.
I was going to say, that's actually a pretty big indictment on the Cardinals and a pretty big positive on the Cubs.
Exactly.
The Cubs have played almost every game, and they're still ahead of the Cardinals in that stat.
Good for the Cubs. They went again last night.
They're also the only team that has not recorded one positive through this entire process from spring training to summer camp to now.
Everything's coming up, Cubs.
Yeah.
Everything is coming up, Cubs. And for years when nothing came up, Cubs, and you were the laughing stock of baseball. Well, guess what? The Cardinals are now the laughing stock of baseball. And it's frustrating. It's getting to the point where it's just frustrating. I normally am so happy on the show. And in the last week, this week has been nothing but frustration every day coming in here. I think I've finally just reached my boiling point of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
I have reached the boiling point. And now the Blues can't win a game. They're 0-4. Barbashev had a baby. I'm not blaming him. He's not in the lineup. When he's not in the lineup, the Blues don't win. Sammy Blaze hurt. Bennington gives up a soft goal. St. Louis doesn't know how to score. Vancouver took the game to them last night the entire time. I went to bed after two periods. I'm like, I'm done.
I know it was tied after two periods.
It was tied, and I'm like, I can't watch this anymore.
Wow.
Six penalties on the Blues, so six power plays for the Vancouver. All the penalties were good penalties. I mean, good calls. It's not like I'm not whining about it. I just got tired of it. I got tired of watching the Blues last night, and I'm like, you know what? I'm tired, literally tired. And so I set my alarm for 5, got up, watched the third period. And so I started the day like that. So now I'm just
5 a.m.?
I did. I got up at 5.
Holy cow.
I usually get up a little after 6.
That's like closer to me going to bed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know. I had a lot of things to do.
I'm not even holding my breath in the Cardinals anymore.
I'm not either.
I'm just, if there was an announcement the Cardinals are not allowed to play baseball the rest of the year, I'd be like, okay, whatever.
It would not surprise me. And in fact, guys, if they cancel the White Sox series this weekend, are you now to the point where it's almost a joke to think you can make these games up?
It seems like it, especially for an affiliate station. We're trying to sell a radio show.
Well, that's...
Let's play 17 doubleheaders.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen.
And it's hard. I mean, it's hard. Right now, I mean, Rob Manfred is still trying to figure it out, and I give him credit. I give him credit that he hasn't just said, because it seems like, you know, the overreaction sometimes is the other way. So I appreciate Manfred taking a deep breath, taking a step back, saying we're going to let this go. But if this continues to go on, I mean, you almost had it figured out, and now a base coach has it. What were you doing? I mean, why are they not in a... There are plenty of hotels.
Yeah, for those that are not, at one point in time, those that are not positive, how do you not isolate that entire group and make sure...
That's correct.
Or even isolate within where, as our friend, and now his name's escaping me, down in Orlando...
Oh, boy.
Tim Sinclair.
Oh, Tim, yeah, I'm sorry.
Stayed in a hotel by himself for a week.
Yeah.
Why is that not happening?
I was about ready to say, there are plenty of hotels in St. Louis that these guys need to be in. You're not going with your family. You're not doing whatever. And maybe, I don't think they are. I don't know what the protocol is for that.
Well, the problem is there is no protocol.
Right. So
I mean, nothing would necessarily stop Anthony Rizzo, let's say, other than morality, from stopping on his way home to grab a pizza and going to Navy Pier.
Okay.
I mean, nothing. There's no like hard and fast, like no one's following him.
Yep.
There's no bubble or anything. So obviously you would hope, like I said, just being a moral person, that if you're a Cardinals base coach, you wouldn't go out to eat and then go to the Arch or something. Yeah. But there's nothing, there's nothing stopping them from doing that.
Yeah, so. Because like this base coach may have done everything right, but his wife went out and got a haircut or bought groceries and then brought it back to him.
Maybe she went and got her haircut the same place that Helsley did. That's just mind-numbingly stupid. That is unbelievable.
Here's what baseball needs to do. They need to say, all right, who of the Cardinals is negative? Who has tested negative three straight days? You give me that roster. You give me that coaching staff. And this is what you've got the rest of the year. So, for instance, if you have Dexter Fowler in right field, and he's your only outfielder in right field, and he tests positive now going forward, then guess what? You play with eight players. And who needs a coach?
Well, the problem is that's what they did in Milwaukee. They all stayed in the Ghost Hotel for 3 days. They all were negative. They waited to come home until everyone was negative. Then when they got home, someone was positive.
Which means they didn't.
It was like the flight attendant or the... It was somebody.
I mean, honestly, this could be a series of the worst luck you'll ever run into.
It's the devil magic reverse.
Right. I totally agree. This is like, well, I'm not even going to say it. I don't want to hex my own team. But really, it was weird early, Derek, and then it became frustrating, and now it's just annoying. Now it's annoying to me when I've got buddies texting me during the day saying, well, now they're going to cancel the next series. And that doesn't include you, Trevor, even though I do consider you a buddy.
Wait a minute. Was that a subtweet? Because that's exactly what I texted you.
No, I had guys earlier than that text me and tell me
you
that.
You don't like it when your friends rip on your baseball team, huh?
No, they're all Cardinals fans.
Saying, I got a lot of Cubs text from you.
Oh, no. What I meant, you know what I meant.
I know.
It was before you sent it to me, and they were just like, I don't think they're going to play again now, and this is getting just out of hand. It's really getting out of
hand. To Derek's point, it's like a joke, right?
It is.
I mean, my team is 12-3, and your team is 2-3.
Yeah, let's talk about the 12-3 team.
I mean, what?
12-3 team.
That's enough for the Cardinals.
Given the time.
Let's don't even bring them up again until they actually play a game. Is that fair? We will not bring the St. Louis Cardinals up again until they actually play a game. The only thing we would actually say is just a fact. Like, the series has been canceled. That's it. So let's talk.
The first series of next week is against a team that's 12-3. So, sorry, Trevor, you might have another series canceled Monday through Wednesday.
Stay away from me.
And Wrigley.
Right.
When you got the mojo going, the last thing you want to do is welcome in the team that can't seem to stop testing positive.
I mean, at this point, you would rather not play the Cardinals, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I said it last week before they canceled the series. I'm like, I don't want to go to Busch right now.
No, I agree.
Every day someone is testing positive at that facility, and they're like, come on in, Cubs.
Yep.
Like, no.
Can we get back to the Cubs right after I say this? For my entire life, every time I see an NFL highlight of somebody, a player or a team, it is always against the Cardinals. George Kittle just signed a big deal, correct, for the San Francisco 49ers, and I look up and they're showing a touchdown against the Cardinals. It's just piling on right now. Now everybody's piling on.
Illinois gets a ton of NFL draft day coverage. They used to in the Beckman era.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying this facetiously because everybody's best highlights were against Illinois.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, I'm serious. Like, if Braxton Miller got drafted, the entire 30 seconds as Trey Wingo was talking is just like him carving up Illinois.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you see Mitch Trubisky's draft highlights?
Oh. Is that the ultimate example of what Trevor is talking about?
Yeah.
Didn't he have three touchdowns against Illinois?
Maybe
more.
That's a pretty weird vacuum when you think about it of, like, North Carolina came in here and just kind of randomly beat Illinois, and the quarterback that no one had heard of then would then become the Bears' starting quarterback. Like, that's kind of a weird connection.
Think
that we all sat there and watched
the number two pick,
Trubisky, for 3 hours on a Saturday night carve up Illinois. But you never, you didn't walk away from that game going like, wow,
no,
that Mitch Trubisky.
You were disappointed in Illinois because, that was the year you thought you had something. And you were looking for a show-me game against North Carolina. Show me something.
You got up 7-0 when Keyshawn Vaughn ran it in early.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think at the end of the half, you got like a safety, and it was like 24-20.
Crazy.
And then the second half, you ended up losing like 48-20 or something.
That's frustrating. Let's talk Cubs. By the way, Casey Bogislaw at 4:30, he's going to join us, and we're going to ask him about the Cubs, a lot about the Cubs. And also about baseball in general, the Houston Astros, they're they're having some fun and some frustrations themselves in baseball. So we'll talk about that with Casey. We've got the Mettler mix-up. We're going to ask, do you know, is it Matthew or is it John? It's Matthew today. Okay. So we're going to ask Matthew about the possibility of college football teams playing two seasons next year, a spring and a fall, and the dangers of that. So we'll ask Matthew about that. Gavin Good at 5:05 for the Illini Inquirer, also Peoria Journal Star. Gavin, who writes with your website, Derek, wrote a great article about a week and a half, well, about a week ago, explaining the financial constraints that is happening right now, not just at Illinois, understood, but he wrote it about the University of Illinois and how they could stand to lose $20 million this year. So it was a great article. And I think it's something that we need to touch on because that's kind of the next thing. I know we're all upset as fans that we're not playing, but there is some serious repercussions from this that could be felt for a long time. So we'll talk to Gavin Good about that.
Yeah, there's a bigger impact than, hey, we're not going to have football on our TVs.
Correct. That is correct.
He also was the one who talked to Josh about Chancellor Jones and who had the vote.
Okay.
So he'd probably provide some clarity on that.
Okay.
Too.
So we'll talk to Gavin Good. I'm excited to talk to him about that. At 5:05, Chris Thomas, a lot of the Illinois coaches spoke today via Zoom call, and we cut up some Chris Thomas sound that we'll be able to hear at 5:30. Of course, the volleyball program. I know he said something funny in the fact that they asked him about bubbling, putting everybody in a bubble, and he said, well, I hope we do because Iowa and Kofi are back. So that was kind of a fun, that was a cool thing that Chris threw out. And of course, we know Illinois volleyball every year is so good. So we want to get that program back and running as well. So we'll hear from Chris Thomas later in the show. Can you tell me, Trevor, what is the best thing about the Cubs right now besides the fact they're 12-3? What is the one thing that has impressed you? Is it the pitching?
Yeah, it's got to be the pitching because now even the bullpen's been good the last few days. And that was your
Jeremy Jeffress.
Yeah, Jeremy Jeffress is one of, I believe, six relievers in baseball that has yet to allow a hit.
Wow.
And he had some swag on the mound last night against the Indians, and he's been really good.
He was nasty not that long ago with the Brewers. He was a really good setup man for them for a while. I'm not obviously a Cubs fan, but when you sit there and look at the top of their lineup, Chris Bryant, who you're hoping that injury is not serious, he got scratched from the lab today after a diving attempt last night. He's hitting 196. Yeah. Rizzo, 235. I know he's hit some bombs. Baez, 254. MLB The Show might have been onto something. But they're 12-3. Contreras has been good.
Yeah.
A lot of extra base hits for him. Ian Happ. So the bottom of that order has been maybe better than expected, and they're winning all these games without the top being just on fire.
And you're getting such production out of guys like Ian Happ and David Bodie. And I know that, Trevor, you're a big David Bodie fan.
I am.
And I think he's a guy, the first time I watched him play, I'm like, that guy, I would figure out a way to figure, you know, to play him among the eight that are in the infield and outfield.
One
and in
the play anywhere. He's kind of Zobristy in that way, where he can play left if he really needs to. He can play third. He can play second. Kipnis has been really good. I mean, he's coming up with clutch hits or home runs every night. And that was a guy, it was interesting because second base was sort of the position where, as we did that, you know, preview show where we talked about every position, that was the one where I went, I don't know.
You're right.
And center field, and Happ's been amazing in center. And then the combination of Horner, who's been really good in the nine hole, Bodie and Kipnis at second has been amazing.
Isn't that? And that speaks to the future. I know that you look at the talent of the Cubs and what they have, and we talked about how this could be a run of 4 or 5 years because of guys like Rizzo and Baez and Bryant. But you look at the guys like Bodie and Ian Happ and what they're bringing to this team, and Nico Horner and what he's going to bring. I mean, he looks like he's five. And
even Hayward. And Hayward leads you with 11 RBIs.
He's been incredible. The last 2 years, he's been
He actually has quietly turned it around with the bat from last year into this year. Because I know the stigma, at least lately with him, was that he just can't hit.
Yep.
But last year he was really good. I remember we said something to the effect of, like, he had more home runs in the first month last year than he had the whole year before that.
It's crazy.
And he slowed down a little bit, but he was still really productive, and now he's leading the team in RBIs this year. So
I mean, you look at that contract, and understandably, you won a World Series with Jason Hayward. And to me, it makes everything fine.
I'm fine with it.
But you looked at that contract, and you had to have sat there and thought, oh, boy, this could really be an issue for this team going forward. But I don't know that he's lived up to what he makes But he has certainly been very good the last couple of years for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, it's been crucial, especially when you heard people in the front office say, you know, when you talk about a Bryce Harper, well, we don't have the money. Well, a good chunk of your money is in the Hayward contract.
Good call.
We know that we've talked a lot about his defense, which has been exceptional. But if he can give you a decent bat, which he did last year, and he's doing so already, that's a pretty good sign. Trevor, you were someone that picked this team third. Now, in a traditional playoffs, they wouldn't make the playoffs, but now expanded, they would. But on a scale of it's early to this is 2016, where are you at?
What's funny is, like, each of the last, what has it been, 3 years since 2016, there's been some point where, as a Cubs fan, you're like, all right, this is 2016 all over again. Even if it's like a five-game win streak against the Marlins and the Rockies
right.
or something. And each of the last 3 years, it's like you've kind of learned your lesson and been whipped a little bit back into, I wouldn't say like you've gone all the way back to thinking your team sucks or something,
yeah.
but it's a bit of a gut check when, after a World Series where everybody's young, Addison Russell, you know, does bad things and is now in Korea or somewhere, and Bryant's been really good, but he hasn't been MVP level, and you missed the playoffs two straight years.
Right.
I'm counting the year where the Rockies beat him in the wild card because it felt like they weren't in the playoffs. So it was sort of like a gut check of like, oh, maybe they're not that good. And so now this is like this weird thing where now I want to jump back into that mindset, but I've been burned 3 out of 3 times the last 3 years, so I'm hesitant to do so. But because of the 60-game season, I'm fine jumping back into that mindset.
I totally agree.
I mean, 12-3 means something when there's only going to be 50 to 60 games. Cubs could play below 500 baseball all the way and almost be a lock for the playoffs.
Right.
At this point.
Well, how far? Who's in second? The Reds? Or is it the Brewers?
I think the Reds aren't even any good.
Yeah.
I think they're under 500, but they're second. Technically, the Cardinals are second.
Hey.
Oh, hey. Look at that. At 2-3.
This is our strategy.
We're back.
This is our strategy.
The Reds are 8-10 in second, and they're 6 games back.
Okay.
But 6 games back with 45 games to play means something. I mean, that's a hard hole to climb out of.
Those are the type of things, when somebody does climb out of those holes, you remember them for many years.
Yeah.
Like when the Cardinals came back from 10 back to get in the 1 year that they won the World Series, you remember those things. Did the Sixers win last night?
They did not.
And Embiid got hurt again.
But the 6 games, if you multiply it out to a regular season.
That is incredible. Just hold on. Quit talking.
I'm just talking over.
I am so tired of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Can we just talk Cubs
for like... They suck. The Blues can't win. The Cardinals can't get on the field. Now they've canceled Big Ten football. This sucks. I don't want to do this show anymore. I'm out. I'm done. Trevor, come in here. Come in here and you do the show. I'm done. Okay, I'll stay. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
It's fine. I'm done. Just keep us some time and go to a break.
Trevor's like, just let me talk Cubs baseball, please. All right. Casey Bogusaw. I promise you the majority of the questions will be Cubs. I'll do that with Casey Bogusaw. He's our MLB expert. He joins us next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now back open for business at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town. Head down, take advantage of great clearance deals. Short sleeve t-shirts are one for $4.99 or five for only $20. Other clearance items are marked down up to 50% off. For the best selection of Fighting Illini gear in Campus Town, visit the official fan store of the Fighting Illini. Game Day Spirit.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA-powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Madison.
Wow, you seem charged charged up for this job.
Lunk's Garage, the oldest auto repair facility in Champaign-Urbana, deals with engine repairs, transmissions, brakes, suspensions, electrical, air conditioning. But one thing they pride themselves on in the one-stop shop for vehicle repairs is tires. Kumho Tires is having an instant rebate sale. If you buy a set of four Kumho passenger tires, you get a $60 credit. If you have a truck and buy a set of four light truck tires, you get $120 credit. So go on to Lunk's Garage at 503 East Main Street or schedule an appointment at 217-367-3942.
Law Enforcement Official of the Month with Alice Carey, Chief of Police at the University of Illinois. You come from?
I come from the University of Maryland, Baltimore, which is a urban campus in downtown Baltimore, where I was the chief of police.
In Baltimore?
In Baltimore.
In Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes.
Where we saw it on the news all the time.
Yes.
You were in the middle of that.
Yes, absolutely.
No wonder you wanted to come to the university. I mean, that was, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the biggest part of going anywhere is building those community relations. And, you know, our university there at the time, I mean, had great relationships with our campus community. So that's the big thing in going anywhere is building those campus community relations.
Again, we salute Alice Carey, the new chief of police and our law enforcement official of the month.
The Long Branch Steakhouse has got some great things going on this weekend. Friday and Saturday night at Long Branch there in Gifford. Two 12-ounce New York strips, $45. Two 8-ounce fillets, $50. Or you can do a strip, 12-ounce strip, and one fillet, 8-ounce strip for $48. All of that comes with two salads and up to four sides. That is a heck of a deal at Long Branch in Gifford. So make sure you make plans this weekend to hit up the Long Branch. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. I interrupted Trevor, but we made good during the commercial break.
You okay now?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Lindy just said that. He's like, laugh my you-know-what off. Lon just lost his, I'll let you guess.
Marbles.
Marbles. I think those were lost years ago. Years ago. Let's talk some more baseball. Casey Bogislaw. He is our resident MLB expert. Follow him on Twitter. It's his name, at Casey Bogislaw. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Lon. How about you? I've been listening to you. I know that you're not doing too great with everything that's going on in the sports world, but I'm glad to be back on with you.
Well, good. I'm glad to have you on. It's been a while, and it's our apologies because, well, there for a while we didn't even know we'd talk baseball, but we are talking baseball, and let's focus where the focus should be, and that is with the Chicago Cubs. 12-3 out of the gate. Their pitching is what we worried coming in. We really worried about their bullpen, but like Trevor said earlier in the show, that has even been good. What has been so impressive about the Cubs out of the gate?
It's got to be starting rotation. You got to start there. You know, even losing Quintana before the season started, you kind of thought, you know, of course the depth was going to be tested, but they've been great 1-5, even with Chatwood and Mills. You know, they're doing their part on the back end of the rotation. And then, you know, Hendricks has been excellent, was superb again last night. Darvish has been very, very good. Lester's been solid. It's the starting rotation, but, you know, that's not to say the offense hasn't been great as well. You know, they're playing, every asset has been good so far. Yeah, you know, you mentioned, really, it's not even, you can't complain just about the bullpen. It's really only been Kimbrel, and that's its own issue, but they've been obviously able to kind of work around it and haven't really been in too many close games anyway because the team has been playing so well. So, yeah, the one weakness of the team has barely shown its head anyway, and everything's going well.
Casey, how much are you buying that rotation going forward? We probably slid it. I mean, I'll say we did. Kyle Hendricks before the season saying he's not an ace. He's super consistent. I give him that. And he has postseason experience. Lester with the postseason experience struggled late down the stretch, but he's been great in his first couple of starts here. Me as a Cardinals fan, Tyler Chatwood still got to show me more. What do you think about that overall? How much are you buying them just on what you know about that group going forward?
Yeah, I agree with you on your assessment of Chatwood. Still got to show it. Was shaky his last time out. You know, it's really just he's got to control, you know, control his control. You know, that's the chat with Bugaboo, is just putting guys on base. And if he can control the walks, obviously the stuff's good enough to get weak contact and get a bunch of strikeouts. He just gets in trouble when he allows the base on balls. And Alec Mills is, you know, relatively unproven, so we'll see how he is. There's going to be some growing pains, but the thing that's going to be that is great about the Cubs so far is that they've allowed their starting rotation has allowed the bullpen to get plenty of rest. They haven't been too taxed. Those guys have been going very deep in games. You know, one of the deepest teams in the National League as far as, you know, starting pitchers going late into ball games, because, you know, Hendricks has thrown a complete game and has gone deep. You know, obviously we're talking, you know, fairly small sample size, but you got to trust what Hendricks is doing. Darvish had a great season last season, so you kind of think that he's going to keep going it. And then, you know, Lester, you know, is up there in age, but he's a savvy veteran. So, you know, if you got 60% of your rotation still throwing, you know, a very consistent to great game every single time out, you're going to be, you know, a lot better than a lot of teams because of what we've seen so far in this weird shortened season that had the quick ramp up and we've seen a ton of injuries all across the league, especially to pitchers, and the Cubs haven't had that yet, and that's giving them an edge over everyone else.
Everything's going right. They haven't tested positive for COVID. I think they're the only organization from the start to finish that hasn't. And this pitching staff, the other thing I was going to bring up, Casey, every time, and I said this happened in 2016, and I told Trevor this yesterday jokingly, that every time I turned on a Cubs game or checked a score, they had a lead in 2016. Mm-hmm. And this year, every time I flip a Cubs game on, if I'm an inning or two late getting home, they're up 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. And that's helpful for a starting pitcher when you can get out there and all of a sudden understand that you're on the winning side of the score already.
Right. And you guys talked about how good the top of the order has been. Chris Bryant has been a leadoff hitter. We'll see if he can get back in the lineup after getting scratched today. But just getting those runs early, you know, yeah, you, like you said it, you know, it lets that starting pitcher just kind of relax and to ease into the game and know that he has a head start when he goes off the face against the opposing team.
How early is too early to start looking at the trade deadline as a Cubs fan and picking out a reliever and trying to find that? Now, Jeremy Jeffress has been great, hasn't given up a run, and as I said in the first segment, not that far removed from him being pretty lights out with the Brewers as a setup man, but how much do you think they should... How aggressive should they be there, and how early is too early to be kind of pinpoint somebody?
Yeah, it's nothing's too early, right, in this season. You know, it's only 60 games. You know, we're only a couple weeks now from the trade deadline. So, yeah, wow. You know, obviously they're going to want to try to find a ninth inning guy. You know, nothing really, you know, jumping off the page yet, just because we, you know, obviously not a whole lot of teams are necessarily out of contention yet. And, you know, the weaker teams don't really have, you know, a closer that's just kind of hanging out there. But, you know, that's a really good question, just kind of in general about the state of baseball this year. How, you know, who is going to move, who is going to be willing to, you know, if a team does want to take on some salary, which is, you know, something that it doesn't look like it's going to happen around baseball just because of how much, you know, how much revenue has been lost across the league. But there is some opportunity that if a team wants to just kind of not necessarily even pay with prospects to get somebody at the trade deadline, but rather just, you know, pay down a hefty contract.
Right.
There is a possibility there if a team wants to do that. You know, obviously the ownership has to, you know, agree to it. And, you know, the Cubs, we know what's happened the last couple off seasons with the ownership and the complaints about them spending money, but there is that opportunity. I think that, you know, some teams will just kind of want to, hey, you know, if we can get out of under from this contract and kind of, you know, help our bottom line a little bit from, you know, a lost 2020 season, you know, yeah, we'll take that on. So the Cubs might have a possibility there. You know, we'll see how the standings kind of, you know, shape up towards the end of the month and see if a team that does have a good back end of the bullpen guy does come available, you know, towards the end of August.
Giovanni Gallegos and Dexter Fowler for Ian Happ. Fair enough.
He's like, I don't know if I'm buying that.
with their five games of statistics, you know, I think the Cubs, you know, can pull that off.
Casey, I mean, you want to brag about the Cubs, but that other team, I told Lindy I wouldn't mention them. They are like one of the leaders in runs allowed right now. So let's don't forget that after five games. All right, Casey Bogusaw, who you buying more, the Colorado Rockies at 12-6 or the Miami Marlins at 8-4?
Well, I still have to go with the Rockies. I mean, what the Marlins have done is quite impressive with, you know, just the amount of, you know, flexibility that they've had to have for the season and playing all over the place and playing, you know, picking up guys off the scrap heaps. It's a good story, you know, as far as when we look back at, you know, what this 2020 season will, you know, at the end of it and what everyone went through, you know, what the Marlins have done is impressive, if nothing else. But I can't really believe in them because their roster wasn't really too good to begin the season, and it only kind of got weaker on paper, at least. The Rockies are more interesting because, you know, Charlie Blackmon is
incredible.
Probably, you know, an MVP, you know, the MVP of the first couple of weeks of the season here, threatening not only the hitting 400 for a season, but hitting 500 for a season. Wow. And their pitching's been great, which is, that's Rockies baseball. It's always pitching that has been the problem. And their pitching's been very, very good so far. So if you're asking me to pick between those teams, it's no doubter. I'm picking the Rockies.
Good call. Casey, we did an MLB team draft before the year to try to, you know, catch some value and see who had the best win totals between us three.
We need to update
that. We'll have to revisit. Now, yeah. I was going to say, play it on for that. Lon caught some flack for picking the Padres.
Yeah.
I don't think it was too early. Fernando Tatis looks like a full-fledged star. Now, I know he was going to be good based on what he showed last year, but he's been awesome. Machado has picked it up here late. What do you think about the Padres?
Yeah, Trent Grisham, who they got off the Brewers, has been a star at the top of the order. It's been Tatis and Grisham 1-2 in that lineup. Pitching's been pretty good. And they haven't been too shy to call up some prospects as well. So, you know, they're all in. And the West Coast baseball, that, you know, the West region, you know, obviously with the teams only playing,
right,
you know, the teams on their side of the country, has been by far the most exciting and most competitive of the. Padres and the Rockies, and you know, we'll actually have a fun race out there in the NL West when not a lot of people thought that was going to happen.
You mentioned West Coast baseball. Will Albert Pujols ever play in a postseason again?
Oh, wow.
You know, the Angels have been playing pretty good. You know, their pitching, of course, is still the problem, although Dylan Bundy, who they brought in this offseason, has been, you know, a revelation after struggling a long time in Baltimore. Trout's been great, even with his, you know, with his newfound dad strength, you know, has been great after missing a couple games for the birth of his first child. Joe Adell is, you know, one of the top prospects in baseball. He's really struggled. So that was kind of the hope, that at least he'd be able to kind of maybe provide, you know, a surprise burst in that lineup, and that hasn't happened yet. And that's kind of been one of the things that have held the Angels back. Athletics have been great. They just had a 9-game winning streak, which is kind of crazy. We're only talking about 16, 17 games. And the Astros have struggled in the standings, but, you know, they're obviously still the favorite in the West. So it's going to be, you know, obviously we got 8 teams coming out of the American League to make the playoffs this year. So the odds are as high as they have ever been,
right,
for Albert Pujols and the Angels of making the playoffs this year. We'll have to see. You know, they have their hands full with the AL West. Like I mentioned, the whole division has been pretty competitive.
Follow Casey Bogusaw on Twitter. It's his name, at Casey Bogusaw. A lot of great statistics, all those young kid things that you like, those sabermetric things that Casey can throw out there. All right, let's get to the real story here. The Cincinnati Reds. Everybody was high on the Cincinnati Reds. I know we're only 18 games in, or at least they're 18 games in. Negative 10 run differential right now for the Reds, a team that we thought would be loaded offensively, and we loved what they had coming back with that rotation, and yet here they are in, I guess you'd say, second place in the Central at 8-10, even though win percentage, I guess, win percentage, even they're still in second place, but the Reds, I don't know. they're a team, I guess, that I've always said you got to show me. Kind of like Derek said about Chatwood earlier. You got to show me, Cincinnati, that you're going to be for real before I totally jump in on you. And now they're 8-10. They should be better than this, shouldn't they? Why aren't they?
I think they've had a fairly difficult schedule, so I'll give them that. The starting rotation has been very, very good. Trevor Bauer has been an absolute ace so far. Sonny Gray has been very, very good. It's just kind of been the offense that's been lagging. Eugenio Suarez was, had a very, very good season last year and has gotten off to a very cold start, so that's just a big power bat that they have been missing in the middle of the lineup. Mike Moustakas has not been good either. That was one of their bigger acquisitions that have come in. But Castellanos has been great. Votto's been pretty good.
Right.
I wouldn't take my eye off the Reds. I still do expect them to turn around. I like what they've been doing. It was kind of like the starting rotation, was your, obviously was going to be the strength of the team and could be able to carry them through the NL Central, and they've been great so far. So that's why I still have a lot of confidence going forward with the Cincinnati Red.
Fair enough. Last one for you, Casey. You mentioned Charlie Blackmon as the leader for the NL MVP right now. I had a little bit of a bet on Aaron Judge in the AL, and he's been great early on, but he's missing some games now. And I'm kind of asking this just to make Lon, he's been an angry man recently.
I have been.
It's kind of going to make him more angry.
Oh, boy.
So the explanation is he played 4 games in Tampa on their turf field, and his legs don't feel too good because of that. There wasn't really a question in there, but what's up with that? What's up with baseball? I don't know.
What's up with Luke Voigt, who actually hits a ball, and we got rid of him?
Aaron Judge, that's kind of his bugaboo. I think maybe he's just so big that he can never stay healthy. Obviously, when he's playing, the man is an absolute man is at the plate. Had 4 or 5 games of the home run in a row this season. If he can stay healthy, yeah, he's clearly an AL MVP candidate. Obviously, the season's very short so far. It's him, Matt Chapman, and, of course, Mike Trout.
That's exactly right. Casey Bogislaw, it is great to catch up again. It's refreshing to talk baseball. And you do it very well, at Casey Bogislaw on Twitter. Always appreciate your time. We'll do it again soon, I promise. Thanks, Casey.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, buddy. Casey Bogislaw, he lives and breathes Major League Baseball. Good stuff there. Trevor, can we, at next hour, do we have a list of all the teams that we drafted in our draft? Do you have that handy, in other words? Got to get the mic on.
I'll find it.
Okay, let's and I'll even do the math. Like, we should all get to do our math on our own teams. Although, do we trust each other? How about Piper? You do mine. I'll do your. Well, I'll do Trevor's.
I feel like we might be able to get a pretty decent idea of where we're at just if you look at things.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, let's. We can just do that. Kind of look at it and see where we're at. All right. When we come back, is playing 2 college football seasons in 1 calendar year too much? We will ask Matthew Gordon from the Mettler Center that exact question. We'll do it next. It's The Drive.
Flooring Surfaces is a local business that's open to serve the construction and housing industry. Over 1 million square feet of flooring options are in stock in Champaign, along with professional tools, adhesives, setting materials, and underlayments you need to build waterproof showers, tile kitchen backsplashes, and renovate entire floors of your home. Over 20 years of operation has made Flooring Surfaces your premier source for hardwood, carpet, laminate, porcelain tile, and everything else. Right now, we're starting the summer of savings with discounted pricing on hundreds of options. You'll find select in-stock hardwoods that are half off, double discounts on laminate floors, and tile that starts at $1.25 per square foot. So here's what to do. Call 398-1990 to arrange a showroom experience, a safe in-home consultation, or to have your order pulled and ready for pickup. We will help you find the right floor, and during the summer of savings, you'll find it for less. Don't worry, Flooring Surfaces has your floor covered.
Hi, my name is Matthew Gordon, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Mettler Center. COVID-19 hasn't stopped pain and injury, and it hasn't stopped physical therapy either. Telehealth can bring physical therapy to you while you stay home and flatten the curve. Our goal is to make the experience simple and stress-free. To help, we are offering the first telehealth session free of charge because we believe it is an essential part of the healthcare system right now. To get started today, visit MettlerCenter.com.
Taco Tuesday is calling.
Tuesday!
That's That's the sound of tacos packed with seasoned beef and classic toppings for an amazing price. Save on seasoned beef tacos every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Crave receivers.
Crunchy.
Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Stop by your local Taco John's at 902 Meyer Drive in Champaign, right next to AMC Theaters. Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better. Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, we have it when you need it. Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
How much is too much in college football? An entire season twice in one calendar year. Can you do that? It'll be tricky, but that's maybe what the Big Ten is doing. Matthew Gordon from the Mettler Center joins us now, the Mettler Mix-Up. How are you, Matthew?
Doing good. How you doing, Lon?
Good. I'm not. I'm actually not doing good, so I'm not going to lie. Every team that I root for is horrible, and one team doesn't even play when they're supposed to. So I'm not even going to try to lie and say I'm doing well. I'm not. So that said, one of the issues we have is the Big Ten postponing football to spring. And we were all three talking yesterday and said, what a perfect Mettler mix-up to ask, is that even doable? Matthew, do we understand the stress that is putting athletes under, especially in a physical sport like football, to play if they ended up doing it? And I know they could shorten one season or shorten both or whatever, but if you did a 12-12, that's 24, 25, whatever games in a season, is that doable? Or I'm sorry, in a year, is that doable?
You know, it's one of those things. I think if it is something that they decide to do, first off, the athletes are sure as heck going to want to try, right?
Sure.
I mean, we've all been there, and it's like, whether it's, you know, competitive sports at high school or college or just recreational softball, if all of a sudden the game gets rained out and you're like, hey, you guys want to play like 8 games in the next 3 days? Everyone's like, yeah, totally. So I think first off, the athletes themselves mentally are going to want to do that.
Right.
And that's a huge thing. If the mental will and drive is there, that can really be the thing that's going to help someone get through this. Because this would be an unbelievably grueling process. I mean, you think about, you know, we've all heard, you know, getting hit by a linebacker is like being in a car accident at like 45 or 60 miles an hour. So, you know, imagine that short off season. So I think it's one of those things that I think it would be doable, but they would really need the training team to be at the best that they could possibly be at during this, because you're going to have to look at your players in a very different way. It's one of the few times the football season isn't going to be seen as more of like a sprint with just those few games.
Good point.
Because you're already having to anticipate and think about, man, where are we going to be at in just a few months? So you might see more, you know, okay, we're going to do some rotations here. We're going to let our stars play, and we're going to, you know, shuffle guys in a little bit quicker than we might normally, because I do think this does. It runs the risk for some kind of overtraining, and whether that overtraining would mean increased risk for strains and sprains of muscles and ligaments, or that overtraining just puts people at a higher risk for contact injuries. And then especially from a therapy standpoint, the first thing I thought about when I saw this was, so many injuries occur in sports as non-contact injuries.
Good point. Yep.
And they occur because people get fatigued.
Yep.
So that first season, you would anticipate that would be a normal season. It's the second one that would be after the short break. That's the one where it would be like, what are we going to see during that second season? Are we going to see a lot of guys who are fatigued, and we're going to see a lot of these, you know, maybe they go to cut and their knee just gives out, or, you know, whatever it might be. Training-wise, though, it's kind of a unique situation, of course, because it's never happened. But,
sure.
I mean, if you're doing a spring sport out of football, I mean, you have 6 months to take phenomenal in-shape athletes already.
Yep.
And try to break them down even more and say, like, okay, where are your mechanical flaws? How do we get your body ready for this? Because, I mean, I'm going to be honest, if they tried to do this with me, it would not go well. But these are amazing athletes already. And so if anyone has the potential for this, I think they do. There's, you know, the college athlete, they're not even in the pros, you know, so they really have that young, their body's ready to bounce back.
Amen.
But this is where the training team would have to look at things very differently for football players. It's not just pure power. You might see more teams think about, hey, maybe this is the year we copy Oregon a little bit more. Maybe we need our guys to have more endurance and work on speed and foot drills as opposed to just ground and pound, because that's where a lot of fatigue occurs.
Excellent points. Matthew, we got like a minute left. If you were the coach or a trainer on this, you know, let's take Illinois, and you do play the two seasons, how do you handle that in between? You know, in other words, you get one season done, then you got the summer, then you're going to start camp for the fall. Do you back off? Do you maintain? How would you handle that?
Well, so I think one unique way to think through that would be, you know, getting some water work in. Because you can work a lot of strength and take some load off the joints in the water. So having them work a little bit in there, that's going to work their bodies in a different way while still really pushing them and keeping them in shape. Two, you could do a lot of proprioception drills. So things where maybe you're working a little bit more balance, eyes closed, really teaching them how to feel their body in space so that they can best control their body. Because, again, my worry would be those non-contact injuries just because of fatigue. The third one, and this is probably the newest edge of some of the therapy side of stuff, is blood flow restriction. This is starting to come into play more, but essentially they put a tourniquet almost on the limb to really restrict the blood flow. So that way the limb is already in a hypoxic state, which is what you would find after a really hard lift already. So you can get really good benefits, like you're lifting really heavy, even though you're lifting lighter loads. It's not a replacement for the heavy lifting in any way, but it might still be a way to use lighter loads in the athletes so you're not fatiguing them or getting all of the mechanical wear and tear from heavy lifting, but you're still stimulating the muscle and allowing it to maintain the size, the volume, the girth without having the risk of, like I said, the mechanical wear and tear, potentially a strain, and then all of a sudden them having to take time off, and then the atrophy that would come with it. So that's like a very new technique, but it could be something that in this case gets pushed by teams with trainers and medical staff to say, let's look at it, let's try it out, and let's see the effects we can have on it.
Excellent stuff. Mettler Mixed Up, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Matthew Gordon. If you need healed, call Matthew up at the Mettler Center. He healed me. He'll heal you, I promise you. As always, Matthew, great stuff, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. And Lon, you know the Cubs are doing good, right?
No,
you feel better,
well,
right?
I don't. Something's wrong with Matthew's phone right now. I can't hear him right now. See you, buddy.
Have a good one.
That is Matthew Gordon. Good stuff there. All right, next hour, we're going to start with Gavin Good, Illini Inquirer, also writes for the Peoria Journal-Star. He wrote an article in Illini Inquirer about a week ago about the financial issues that could cause or that could face Illinois with the cancellation of football and with COVID-19. We will talk to him about that next.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.